You are listening to a teaching from Reality LA.
Today is Vision Sunday. It's going to be a little different than normal. This is something that we do at the beginning of each year as a reminder of who we are and as an opportunity to celebrate what God has done and anticipate what God is going to do. Now, one heads up for you is that in the past when we've done this, we've taken a portion of it to talk about our finances and how we did last year and then looking forward in that area. We're gonna wait a few weeks to do that until our numbers are final from 2015. And today's just gonna be more about the vision of the church and where the Lord is leading us. And then we'll get to that important discussion later. But when I talk about vision, I want you to know that I think of vision not as just conjuring up something out of nothing. Vision is finding out what God is doing and getting in line with that. It's the kind of vision that doesn't come from a boardroom, but from the prayer room. And this is an incredible opportunity for us as a church in this season that we are in right now to be really clear about who we are and where we're going. And so to do that, I'm going to try to answer five questions. There's gonna be some preaching in here and a little bit on a text of scripture, but we're gonna do much more than that today. I wanna try and answer five questions. And the first question is, why are we here? This is so basic, but I wanna back up and think about this. Why have a church in Los Angeles? Well, to put it most simply, Jesus loves people and Los Angeles has lots of them. The city of Los Angeles has 4 million people that live in it, over 500 square miles. And if you count the cities that are within Los Angeles and then the metropolitan area around Los Angeles, you have 13 million people. And that's not just a number. Every statistic or number has endless stories behind it. It's Kelly, the homeless woman that I met after church last week. It's David, the successful producer. It's Jim, a guy who's lived in my neighborhood for 55 years. Jesus loves people, and LA has tons of people. And most of them don't know Jesus. In fact, 70% of people in Los Angeles say they have not made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is still important in their life. 70%, that's almost 3 million people, which means that you could have another 1,000 Reality LAs and still not fit all those people who don't know Jesus into them. So there are tons of people in this city who need Jesus, and it's growing. The city is growing. I mean, if you look back at the population records, you see from about 2000 to 2010 that the city of Los Angeles hardly grew at all in terms of population. But in the last 5 years, there's been constant growth. And last year in LA County, an average of around 6,000 people moved here every month. 6,000 people every month. And over the next 5 years, Hollywood's core is expecting a 70% increase in population. You can see that with the buildings that are going up right around us here. And every week, I meet new people who just came to this city, not only from other states, but from other nations. Many people come here to follow their dreams, and yet they quickly learn that this is a hard city. The dream often turns into a nightmare. Los Angeles is beautiful, but it's equally broken. So why have a church in Los Angeles? Because the people of Los Angeles need Jesus. This is a broken place. And we see that brokenness systemically, homelessness. In Los Angeles has more homeless people in it than any other city in our nation. And in fact, it's doubled in the last 2 years. 22% of people in Los Angeles live below the poverty line. And for the first time in 13 years, crime increased last year in our city. And we see this brokenness not only in systemic ways, but especially in relational ways. Los Angeles can be a brutal and lonely place. You see this reflected the most practical way in traffic. You have a bunch of individuals guarded from one another, fighting against each other, trying to get different places. But it really is a lonely city. It's transient. People are constantly moving in and out of Los Angeles. So you get to be friends with someone, then they leave. Then you get to be friends with someone else and they move, you know, an hour away, even though they're still in the city and you never see them again. And you start thinking you can't trust or you can't really get to know people. And on top of that, most people in Los Angeles aren't from here. And so we don't have family living around us. Jack Kerouac penned these words in his classic novel, On the Road. He said, I never felt sadder in my life. LA is the loneliest and most brutal of American cities. So why have a church in Los Angeles? Because this city needs not only Jesus, it needs the church, a community that functions as family. If you go back to thinking about why people come to Los Angeles, I think you could boil it down to three reasons. I think people come to Los Angeles to erase their past, to reinvent themselves, and to fulfill their dreams. And Los Angeles gives them an opportunity for all of those things. You can see that expressed in this quote from David Reed in a book titled Sex, Death, and God in LA. He says this, "Rebirth, metamorphosis, transfiguration, second acts. Here is the key to all Southern California mythologies and the promise held out by its gods, goddesses, avatars, and messiahs." People are coming to Los Angeles and they're looking for something. But ultimately, what they're longing for is Jesus. They want to erase their past, but it's only in Christ that we can have the forgiveness of sins. They want to reinvent themselves, but it's by trusting in Jesus that we are made new. They want to fulfill their dreams, but Jesus makes them a part of something bigger than themselves, the kingdom of Christ. So why are we here as a church? We're here because this city needs Jesus. And while this is Vision Sunday, a compelling vision begins with a heartfelt burden. And I hope that our heart for LA reflects God's heart for LA. I love this city, but not in the sense that I just really like it a lot. I love this city in the sense that I'm committed to it and I'm called to it. And as much as you or I might love this city, Jesus loves it even more. Jesus was at work in Los Angeles long before we got here, and he will be here long after we're gone. So why a church in Los Angeles? We're here because Jesus is on mission in Los Angeles, and he's called us into it. So that's why we're here. But then that leads to the next question, who are we? We're here, let's understand who we are. And to talk about that, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, we're gonna look at verses 18 through 20. And as you're turning there, I just wanna say that if you're visiting with us or if you're new, this is perfect for you to be able to understand who we are as a church, what we are about. But if you've been here a while and this is your church, you need to hear this just as much as anyone. When it comes to the most important things in life, you don't need to just be informed, you need to be reminded. We need to know who we are and what we're about, and we have to make sure that it truly shapes everything that we do. And in order to know who you are, you have to know whose you are. This is Jesus' church, and so we look to him for our vision and our mission. Let me read Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, "Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" First thing I want you to notice about this passage is that it's all about Jesus. In three verses, Jesus is mentioned five times. It begins with his authority, moves forward with his mission, and culminates in his presence. And what's true in this passage is true of the Bible as a whole. Jesus is the climax of the Bible story. He's the center of our theology. He's the foundation for our lives. He's the fulfillment of God's promises. He's the answer to the world's questions. He's the hope of every longing. And Jesus is the head of the church. That's exactly why Jesus said, "I will build my church." Reality LA is his church, and we want to advance his mission by his grace and for his glory. I can't put it any more simple than if someone said, well, what are you about as a church? To just answer, Jesus. That's what we're about. We're a Jesus church. That's who we are. I would hope that if someone came up to you on the street and asked you the question, said, hey, I heard about this thing or this church, like Reality LA, like what is that? Like you said, oh, it's a church. They said, what kind of church? I hope the consistent answer across the board would be, that church is all about Jesus. Follow Jesus. He shapes everything they do. They try and love people like Jesus. They're focused on Jesus. I hope that would be true of us here, but even of our reputation in this city. And if it's all about Jesus, then that means that it's not about me or the other leaders of the church. Our job is to point people to Christ. If it's all about Jesus, it's not about you. We don't exist to provide a service for consumers, but to equip disciples. And if it's all about Jesus, it's not about Reality LA. We're not building a brand, we're proclaiming a name, and the name is Jesus. So we're all about Christ. But I want to remind you that there's a couple different ways that you could be all about Jesus. And I want us to remember this, because one way to go about it would be to say, well, we're so much about Jesus that we only talk about Jesus to the exclusion of dealing with anything else. And that kind of results in a shallow understanding of following Jesus. And you even reduce it to where you use Jesus not to deal with other hard issues. But the other way, and the right way, is that to make it all about Jesus doesn't mean that you only look at him, but you're looking through Christ and seeing everything in light of him. That it's all about Jesus, and as we keep our eyes fixed on him, that puts everything else in perspective. So that we're the kind of disciples that this calls us to, where it says that he taught us to observe all that he commanded. To be all about Jesus is to be all about what Jesus has taught us and called us in living our lives for him. And if you're wondering, this isn't a passive-aggressive critique of other churches. There's been a temptation throughout the history of the church to reduce Jesus to our own agenda, and it's inside of every one of us, me and you. We have to keep our eyes fixed on him. When I first stepped into the position I'm in this church as pastor of preaching and vision, I stood before you all and said, my job is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus and us following after him together and as individuals in this city. And if we're all about Jesus, then we have to align ourselves with his vision and be faithful to his mission. So I want to talk about our vision and our mission as a church. And I want you to see how this comes out of Jesus' commission himself. So first, our vision is that we're seeking the renewal of our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And when he says that, he taps into a much bigger story of what God is doing in history. And you really see that when you look at a passage that is the background for what Jesus says here in Daniel chapter 7. Let me read to you Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, and it'll help us understand what Jesus is claiming here. This is Daniel, who has a vision from the Lord. It says this, Daniel 7, 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Jesus is that Son of Man. And when he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, it's a royal authority, one that will bring God's gracious rule to the ends of the earth. And this is the story of the Bible, of God renewing his creation as king. He's not just tossing his corrupted world and saving souls. He's the king who has set out to renew his creation. That's exactly why when you get to the end of the story in Revelation 21, the picture is of Jesus sitting on the throne saying, "Behold, I am making all things new." He's renewing all things, and we long to see that grand vision of renewal touching ground in Los Angeles. And when we use that word renewal, it's important that we understand that in the fullness with which Scripture uses it. We long to see spiritual renewal, where people are reconciled to God and given new hearts. We long to see relational renewal, where people are brought into community and given a new family. We long to see cultural renewal, the peace and the flourishing of our city. So this is what we long for, what we dream about, but we can't bring it about. This is only possible through the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is the one who is renewing his creation. And if Los Angeles experiences that, it's going to be an act of God's grace through a people who have entrusted their lives to him. The hope of renewal for this city is not in a group of religious people who condescendingly tell others that they have the answers. We're beggars who have found bread, and we want to proclaim it to a city that's spiritually starving. It's all through the gospel. And if you're not a Christian and you're here today, this is what I want you to understand, because if this doesn't make sense, the gospel, then nothing else will make sense that we talk about. This holds it all together. When we say it's all about Jesus, it's not just Jesus as a teacher or as an inspirational example. The gospel is not good advice about what we do for God. It's good news about what God has done for us in Christ. He died. And why would it be good news that our Savior was killed, that he was crucified? Because his death is the ground for the forgiveness of sins and the basis of us being reconciled to God. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. He's alive, and you can know him today. He's changing lives today. And there's lots of evidence of that here now. And he calls us to put our faith in him. That's how we receive his grace. Not by getting our act together and starting to go to church more and doing the right things, but by trusting in Christ and receiving his grace and allowing him to transform us from the inside out. So we long for renewal, and so we look to the only one who can bring it about, Jesus. So that's the story that we're a part of, the vision that we long to see realized. And within that broader vision of God renewing his creation, Jesus calls us to a particular mission. We want to make disciples who love God, one another, and our city. See, in the Great Commission, the real thrust of it, the real charge that Jesus gives them is to make disciples. That there's a lot of things that we're called to do in Scripture, but when Jesus gathers his disciples to commission them one last time before he ascends to heaven, he says, make sure you do this. Make disciples. Now, what is a disciple? Most simply, it's really a follower. It's when you follow someone to learn from them, to become like them. And we're all disciples. Everywhere you go, you are being discipled towards something. Think this way, wear this, hang out here, care more about this issue. But to be a disciple of Jesus means that he shapes your identity, that he determines your beliefs, that he decides the way you live your life. Your ultimate loyalty is to him. And because you know him and you are with him, you become like him in your character. Jesus calls us to be disciples and to make disciples. And he clarifies this by saying, being a disciple, part of that is getting baptized. And then he says, and you need to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus gives us here a holistic understanding of following him. And that's why we talk about how our mission is to make disciples who love God, one another, and our city. We want to love God because disciples of Jesus delight in knowing, loving, and glorifying God above all else. And through the gospel, we are sons and daughters of God. We want to love one another because disciples of Jesus follow Christ together in community. And through the gospel, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to love our city because disciples of Jesus love their neighbors and seek the good of the place that God has placed them. And through the gospel, we are stewards and servants. We see in Matthew 28, Jesus' mission, Jesus' priorities. And it's clear from this that Jesus isn't about getting fans, he's about calling followers. He doesn't care about drawing a crowd, he's building a church. And so we need to make sure that our mission ultimately comes from his mission, and that we see ourselves doing what he has called us to do and what he can only do. But this is something that we can't just say out loud and regurgitate without letting it really shape who we are and staying focused on it. Because if you're not deliberate about doing that, about staying on the mission of Christ, then you will veer to the left or to the right. You will have a tendency to go somewhere else. Let me show you how this works. I want to read to you a mission statement from a university in our country. And as I read this to you, I want you to try and guess in your own mind what university this might be. All right, what university could this be the mission statement for? Here it is. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well that the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. John 17:3, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. That's a great mission statement. I mean, what university do you think this might be? I mean, it sounds like it could be like a great mission statement for Biola University or for Wheaton College or some great Christian institution, right? I mean, that's impressive. Let me tell you that this was the mission statement for Harvard in 1643. There's a tendency to drift from mission when you're not deliberate and intentional with being faithful with what you've been called to do. And we need to recognize that in ourselves, that we have a propensity to want to be fascinated with something else that's more fresh, more new. We want to go with the latest trend. We want to start saying things that are less offensive, or we just want to say what people want to hear. And it's so easy to drift away from the simple and yet powerful mission that Jesus has given us, to make disciples. And so we need to not only learn that, we need to be reminded of it, we need to evaluate ourselves by that and make sure that we are staying faithful to what Christ has called us. We want to be a church that's about Jesus, that's seeking the renewal of our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is making disciples who love God, one another, and our city. So that's who we are. That's what we're about. And now let's take some time to look back and evaluate on the last year, and then to look forward and anticipate this coming year. So first, where have we been? I want to look back on 2015 and celebrate and evaluate this through this threefold grid of making disciples who love God, one another, and our city. So first of all, when we look back at 2015, we see that we're, as a church loving God, we've seen a lot of fruit and a lot of growth in this area that we just want to praise God for. I mean, the place to start with here is talking about seeing people come to know Jesus and their lives are changed. There are so many people in the last year who have given their lives to Christ here and who have been radically transformed by the gospel and found family and had a whole different life because of God's grace. And it's been so powerful to see that and to pray with people and to hear the stories about how Jesus is changing lives here. And one of the symbols that the Lord has given us representing that is baptism. And last year in 2015 in Reality LA, we had 170 people who were baptized. Isn't that incredible? Yeah, let's praise God for that. 170 people, and every that number represents a face, a story, a person behind every one of those. I think of a son and a father who were baptized together. I think of a 10-year-old boy and a 60-year-old woman and the diversity that we saw there. I think about the woman who came from China and didn't speak English, but just happened to meet someone in our church who was from the city that she's in and spoke her dialect, and she got baptized one day here and then went back to China. It's amazing the lives that have been changed and the stories that are behind every single one of those. And we want to see people come to know Christ, but then also to grow in Christ. And we've seen that in really powerful ways in 2015. We've really developed our efforts to equip the church, to equip the saints, building up the church. Our Essentials class has been honed and is really doing well. Now we've had hundreds of people who have gone through that. And I remember talking to one woman after she had finished the last Essentials class, and she just said, "I feel like I have a foundation for my faith now. I feel like I know how to move forward and grow from this point on." And that's exactly what we want for people in our church, to be doing that constantly. We had forums in the last year on important issues like sexuality and race. In fact, as I look back on 2015, I think some of the most important conversations we've had and areas we've seen fruit is on the topic of race. And we've been reminded time and time again that the church is a multi-ethnic people who are united by our King Jesus. And to have an environment where we're having those conversations more openly and walls are coming down in that way, and God is doing a work and is continuing to do a work in our church in that area, has been incredible to see over the last year. We've been teaching the kids in our church to love God. We have 123 children involved in Reality LA Kids. I just love that. On Sundays, so many kids just running around. I mean, you guys really get serious about obedience when it comes to that whole be fruitful and multiply command. Just like, yes, Lord. I love that. I mean, so many kids, and the kids' ministry has just been thriving, and not only seeing the fruit in the kids, but the volunteers, how incredible they are of pouring into and loving these kids has been so great to see in the last year. Reality LA Youth has grown a ton in the last year. Our middle school and high school has increased up to 30 to 40 students, which is double what we had just a year ago. And that's not only students whose parents and families are involved in our church, but other students who their families aren't involved in church at all. So it's been great to see growth there. Not only have we grown in terms of loving God, but also in terms of loving one another. So we have 51 community groups that are spread all across Los Angeles. And it's been incredible throughout this year just to hear the stories of people becoming Christians in community group, where they have a space to ask questions and to see what community looks like when it's really shaped by the gospel. To hear stories about people taking care of each other in hard times, when someone loses a job and someone is suffering a loss, and community groups rallying around one another. It's been incredible to hear those stories this year. We had 9 new groups planted in the last year. We have around 1,000 people in our church who are in community. And so there's been so much good there. But also, as we look back on 2015 and really want to evaluate, I want to say that this is an area that we can do better in. This is an area that I hope in this next year that we really grow. That it's amazing to have 1,000 people who are committed to following Christ in community. But if you look at just the percentages of what that is in our church, it's not enough. And our formal community groups aren't the only way to be in gospel-centered community. We know that. The goal is just that people would have friendships and community where you're grounded in Scripture and following Christ together. So our community groups aren't the only way for that. But if church is just a Sunday event for you, or if you're just alone and following Christ, then something's off there in understanding the fullness of the call of Jesus. We want to grow in that area. When we talk about loving one another, one of the ways that we do that is serving one another. And we see that especially on Sundays. It takes an incredible amount of volunteers to pull off a Sunday service here meeting in a high school. And this last year, we had 527 volunteers. And that's awesome. I mean, praise God for that. To have 500 volunteers in Los Angeles towards something, it's amazing. Yeah, thank you to the volunteers. But this is another area where we can do better. And I think there's some good reasons. I mean, we sent off, when we planted Collective Church, we sent off a lot of people who were volunteers, and that left some gaps. And we need other people to step up into those places. For us to have services on Sunday here and to do so in a healthy way requires 732 volunteers total. And now we're just over 500 a little bit. And the goal is that we would be able to do that in a way where people are serving in a healthy and sustainable way, where people aren't burning out, where one person isn't doing a job that should be for three or four people. And so we want to grow in that way and see people, first and foremost, just to not have a consumer mindset, but to be here to give and to serve and to contribute, and then to help out particularly in those ways on Sundays. Third, we want to look back at how we've grown in loving our city. We try to be very intentional with our outreach, both locally and globally. And we've done a lot. We did a lot in 2015 to minister in Los Angeles to the homeless, the hungry, the oppressed. We do a lot globally that a lot of you probably aren't even aware of. There's going to be a slide behind me that lists how we're helping people out all over the world. But we support missionaries in Romania, India, Haiti, Costa Rica, Uganda, Russia, Ethiopia, and several other countries besides that. So it's as we look back, it's been amazing to see how the work that God is doing both here and globally. And our focus is on Los Angeles, but it's also so encouraging just to think that millions of people or millions of downloads of our teachings and sermons happen every year. And those videos, at least, are listened to in over 144 countries throughout the world. And when you think about Jesus calling us to make disciples of all nations, praise God for that. In this last year, we've tried to use our resources towards benevolence and in reaching out and showing the compassion of God to people in our community and around us. And we've done that in using our resources to help those in homelessness, drug addiction, unemployment, eating disorders, sickness, helping people find jobs, budget counseling. There's been a lot of growth and fruit in that area. We've also grown a lot as a church in learning how to care for one another. We want to create an environment where you can be authentic, open, and not just kind of wear your mask of everything's great and God is good, but really be honest, but then also be able to care for one another in the midst of that. There was a lot of good stuff happening throughout 2015 that you might not even know about because it's not happening from the stage, but where God is teaching us and growing us how to care for one another in a really healthy way. And the last way that I want to talk about how we have loved our city in this last year, one of the most important ways was in planting a church in our city. So this last year in 2015, we planted Collective Church on the west side. And as I look back on this last year, that's one of the things that I'm most proud of. It was a huge step of faith for us. We took two of our pastors and about 100 of our people and sent them out on the west side to start a new church there. They started several months ago, and it's been so encouraging to hear the stories week in, week out, as I talk to Casey and Lorenzo and hear about what God is doing there and how he's growing them, and it's been healthy. And we just praise God for that. We want to be a sending church. We recognize that we're not going to reach all of Los Angeles with one church. We want to support, and we're connected with many other churches in this city that we are thankful for and are so proud and thankful for what God has done on the west side through Collective Church. Now, That's a lot, and so much has happened over the last year for us. But really, 2015 was a year of transition. In June, Pastor Tim Chaddick, founding pastor of Reality LA, announced that he and his family were called to plant a church in London within the Reality family of churches. And then over the summertime, we had a period of a transition where we were going through 2 Timothy, and Pastor Tim and myself were going back and forth preaching and preparing for that. And then in September, we sent off the Chaddicks. And they've spent a couple months in Carpinteria, resting and preparing. And just this last week, they landed in London permanently, got a place there, and are now beginning the good work that the Lord has called them to do there in London. And when we look back on 2015, this was major for us. And to be honest, when we were coming to announce to the church that we were gonna send Tim and his family off to London, we didn't know how the church, how you all would respond to that. I really believed that God was in it and that God was going to use it for his purposes, not only in London, but in Los Angeles. But we just didn't know. And the way that you all have responded as a church has been nothing short of incredible. It's been so encouraging to see the health of this church through that transition. God has not only built character into us through this, he revealed your character as a church through this. That if Tim would have left and our church would have just fallen apart, then we wouldn't have been a healthy church in the first place. But the fact that you all have rallied and been so committed has just shown that God is at work here and that you're a people who are faithfully following Jesus in this city, that we're committed to the mission of Christ, not just to a man. And so I wanna thank you for that. I wanna thank you for the way that you've been faithful through a really big season for us as a church. And when I look back on this year, I see the Lord using that transition in really powerful ways for us. Just like in Deuteronomy 8, it talks about how Israel was wandering in the wilderness, and they just kind of thought they were going in circles and didn't know what was going on. But it says in the midst of that, God was teaching them and he was humbling them. And we haven't been in a wilderness season, but in this transition season, the Lord has been at work in really powerful ways. And as I look back, I see 3 things that stand out that God has really done in our church through this transition. First, he's really united us. It's amazing that early on at the beginning of last year, the pastors really felt, and the rest of our staff really felt that God was calling us to unity in 2015. And who would have known that he would have united us in such a powerful way by going through this transition? And he really has. There's a sense of unity here. We're united around the right thing, the mission of Jesus. And there's also a relational unity of trust. Some of you, this transition kind of opened up other wounds. You've been a part of church transitions that didn't go very well in the past and had a hard time trusting maybe because of that. And it's been so amazing to hear the stories of the openness and the conversations throughout this of how we've been unified in that way. But not only has God united us, he strengthened us. Just like as in life, when you go through times of change and transition, there are always opportunities for growth and maturity. I really think through this, the Lord has matured us. He has grown us as a people. So he's united us, he's strengthened us. And third, I think through this transition, he's called us to a deeper commitment. When something big happens like that, when you send off your founding pastor, it shakes things up. And it honestly raises a lot of questions in people's minds that are natural of, oh, is God calling me to something else? Or am I gonna stay here? Or why am I a part of this? And those are good questions that I encourage people to wrestle through. And what happened with so many of you is coming back to a renewed sense of calling to Los Angeles and being recommitted in a way that it was even deeper than you were at before. I feel like there's a freshness, a re-urgency of the mission that we have in this city that God has given us through this transition. And for me personally, I just want to say that I couldn't be more thankful to be a part of this church as a man and to be a part of leading this church as a pastor. I count it as an honor to come up here every week and to preach the word of God and to pour my heart out and trust you all with that and charge you all to keep following Jesus. And I just want to thank you for that. This has been a big year in my life. Personally, the Lord has done so much in my heart of teaching me to depend on him and teaching me to seek him first and foremost. But I want to thank you all as well for the way that you've supported me, for the way that you've prayed for me. It's been an honor, and I'm so grateful to all of you for that. When I look back on 2015, I think I'll say that's the year where I learned that the most unchanging constant in my life is the faithfulness of God. Things are always changing, but God's faithfulness to us is unchanging. Because of where we've been, I have so much confidence for where God is taking us. Where are we going? I believe that God has brought us through transition so that he could take us further into mission. It's not that he carried us through this time of transition so we could take a breather and relax and just kind of do nothing for a while. No, God has done so much, and yet there is still so much to be done. And I believe that God has positioned us in this city to be faithful to his mission for a long time. Think about what we just talked about with the last year. He has unified us. He has strengthened us. He has called us to a deeper commitment, but he did it for a purpose, for the sake of his mission. And that means for us moving forward as a church and moving out as disciples. And when I talk about moving further in mission, I want to remind you what we already looked at in Matthew 28. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples." Jesus said, "Go." And for 2,000 years, the church has been saying, "Come." And he wants us to have a mentality of going out, witnessing to and for Jesus. He wants us to be on mission. When he's talking to the disciples there and he sends them out, it's not just for international missionaries. He's talking to his disciples, and to be a disciple means to be a disciple maker, and he's sending them out and he's sending us out. We're all missionaries for Jesus. We are a sent people. It's who we are. And this year, we want to cultivate a mindset in our church that we don't just do mission events. We have a missional identity. It's who we are, a people who have been sent by Jesus to witness to him in word and deed. God is calling us to move forward in mission. But many times people think of mission as kind of like a gung-ho, aggressive, take over the world mentality. But I would say that that's immature mission. Immature mission is passion without patience. It's growth without health, action without prayer, ambition without humility. But lasting mission requires holistic maturity. Maturity is not somehow in contradiction to mission. Rather, going deeper in maturity enables us to move forward in mission in a way that's healthy and sustainable for the long haul. And God wants to call us into that in this year. My dream for 2016 is seeing many, many people who right now as we speak don't know Jesus, seeing those people having an encounter with the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ and having their lives turned around and being brought into gospel-centered community where they're being cared for and prayed for and supported and then being sent out into this city as salt and light to the glory of God. God is calling us deeper into maturity and further into mission. So now I want to talk about some practical things that we want to do as a church this year to make sure that we are faithful to that. So as God takes us further in mission, we want to focus on evangelism. We want to be a church, like it says in the book of Acts, where we are seeing our added to the numbers daily. People coming to know Christ because we have a boldness and a willingness of going out and sharing the gospel with people who don't know Jesus. And we want evangelism to be embedded in everything that we do. It's not just that I'm an evangelist who preaches the gospel and you try and bring friends, that God is sending us all out to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. And one of the greatest opportunities that we have to share the gospel every year is our Easter service. And at Easter, it's an opportunity to invite people who wouldn't normally come to church. And so as we really want to emphasize evangelism this year and sharing Christ with those who don't know him, I'm excited to announce that this year, we're going to be having our Easter service at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. Now, this is an opportunity for us to share the gospel with so many people who would never normally want to come to a church service. And look, it's not about the flashiness. It's not about what it is. It's about the opportunity that it gives us to point people to Jesus from a place where people are proclaiming something completely different most of the time. And it's an awesome opportunity that the Lord has given us. And so we are so excited this year for our Easter to see so many people come to know Jesus, to be baptized on stage in the Dolby Theater, and to see this city changed by people coming to know Christ. As God takes us further in mission, we want to focus more on sending you all out into your own neighborhoods and regions. We're a sending church. And to do that, we're excited to announce that this year, we're revamping regional prayer for 2016. We have a whole new vision for gathering regionally and crying out to God in ways specifically contextualized to Hollywood, to the Valley, to the West Side, to Pasadena, and this year for the first time in downtown as well. Downtown is a place of great need and opportunity, and so we want to go to the Lord in prayer on behalf of that part of our city and ask that God would do great things there. As God takes us further in mission, we want to focus more on church planting. Lord willing, Reality Church London will launch in 2016, and we plan on praying and supporting the Chaddix and the team there every step of the way. We're also excited to announce, in preparation for the church plant, the 2016 London Prayer Tour. Every time we plant a Reality Church, we do a prayer tour where we invite people from all the other Reality Churches to go and spend a week in that place, knowing that if the church is going to grow, it's going to be God who brings the growth. And so we cry out to the Lord in prayer. So we're going to have a prayer tour for Reality Church London, July 26th through August 2nd this year. And with that and some of these other things that I've told you about, we're going to have announcements coming up with details about all that. Right now, I just want to give you a vision for some of the big things that are going to happen this year. And also for church planting, our desire is not just to plant churches every once in a while, but to be a church planting church, where that's a part of our DNA and regular rhythms. And so right now we have 3 pastoral residents who are being trained and prepared for church planting, and in the right timing, they will be sent out as well. As God takes us further in mission, we also want to focus on sending each of you into the city, trained to engage the culture of the city, and to see your vocations as one of your greatest opportunities to love the city. And so in 2016, we have several icon events planned that we're excited to tell you about later that's going to do exactly that. It's going to equip you all to engage the city in a thoughtful way, but also to help you as disciples in your vocations of glorifying God in that way. And to do all of that, all of this that we're talking about, of what we see the Lord calling us to in 2016, going further in mission, we've got to keep going deeper into maturity. So as God takes us deeper into maturity, we want to keep equipping you and training you so that you're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. We want to keep calling you into community and training you in ways to do that in a healthy and sustainable way in the city. We want to keep teaching you all how to care for one another. where we're seeing genuine and authentic relationships and friendships functioning in the church. God's calling us deeper into maturity and further into mission. So that's where we're going, but only one question remains. What's your part? This is a grand vision, but it's only going to see fruition with all of us, united in our focus and empowered in each of our diverse roles and gifts. We want you to see the church not as an event that you go to once a week, but a community that you're a part of, a people who are committed to Jesus' mission in this city. And this is not a vision just for the leadership of the church. This is a vision for the church. And the only way it's going to happen is if we all take ownership of it. The goal has never been to simply come to church or even to support the church, but to be involved in the church. And there are seven ways that we have always called the followers of Jesus here to be involved in the church. First, we want you to commit to gathering together as the church. Make it a priority to come together with the body of Christ on Sundays, to receive the preached word, to receive the Lord's Supper together, to exalt Jesus. But then also commit to going from here on Sundays and scattering throughout the city, reaching out to those in your neighborhoods. And as you go from this place, we want to challenge you to commit to believing, to trusting in God and growing in your relationship with the Lord. We want to challenge you to commit in worshiping, and that whatever you do, make it about Jesus and the glory of his name. We ask that you would be involved with prayer. Pray for our church, pray for our city, that the name of Jesus would be exalted. We want you to be involved in serving, not just asking, what do I get out of it, but how can I contribute? We want you to be involved by giving financially, sacrificially contributing for the mission that God has called us to. Now, some of you have maybe been around for a little bit, and you've kept the church and maybe even people at a distance. Maybe you've been hurt in the past and you're not sure if you can really trust people or that you can trust the church. Others of you maybe have been around but not really involved because you figure, well, I'm not going to be in LA long term anyways, and so why do I want to try and really invest there? But I really want to challenge you even now to examine your own heart. Examine your commitment to Christ, your commitment to Christ Church, and how involved you are in what God has called us to as a church in this city. And I want to call all of us to a response. And I want to do that today on Vision Sunday in a different way than we've done before. I've tried to lay out what we as the pastors believe is a vision for our church in 2016. And I want to ask you to respond, for all of us to respond together, in three ways. First, by taking communion, because our commitment is first and foremost to Jesus. And we are who we are as we come around the good news of Christ's death and resurrection. So we're going to respond by taking communion. But second, we're going to do a responsive reading. And this is a way of expressing verbally our commitment to Christ together. And then third, we're going to pray. Because for all this, we are completely dependent on God. But before we do that, I want to tell you that everything I've said today, I've said on behalf of our pastor team as a whole, and we have spent much time praying and going before the Lord on our behalf as a church. And so at this time, I want to invite out the other pastors to come join me out here. Can we give them a hand as they come on out? Come on, gentlemen. If you don't know all of these guys, this is Sean, Brooke, Adam, and Nick, men who love this church and faithfully serve and pray for you all. And as we respond, we want to, first, as I said, we want to take communion, and we're going to do that in a different way today than we normally do, and I want to explain that a little bit. First, as a sign of our commitment to the vision and mission of this church and to you as the people of this church, we are going to serve communion to you all today. We have these little cups with bread and juice, and in just a moment, we're gonna come down and we're gonna pass those out to all of you, and we'd ask that you take it and hold on to it. If you're a follower of Jesus, then we would ask that you take one of those and hold on to it. If you're not a Christian and you're here checking things out, wondering, this is something that we do as a family. And rather than partaking of the symbol, we would ask that you just take the time to reflect on what that points to in the death and resurrection of Jesus and how we're centered around him. And as we have this time, I just want to encourage you to think of your commitment to Christ, but then also how that's in the context of the body of Christ. And so we're going to pass out communion to you now. Again, we'd ask that you hold on to it and wait so that we can all take it at the right or at the time together. And then we'll come back up here and lead us through a time of that. And let me read from Scripture, 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Our commitment is first and foremost to Christ, surrounding ourselves around the gospel, but as we keep our eyes fixed on him, we recognize that we're called to do so arm in arm as a people who are not only committed to Jesus, but committed to his body, the church. And in the Old Testament, God made a covenant with his people, but then they would regularly have renewals of that covenant. And they would do so by gathering together as one people and saying in one voice their devotion and commitment to the Lord together. We're the new covenant people of God. And in our commitment to Christ, we want to have one voice in doing that and following Jesus together. So based on the passages that you were reflecting on earlier, we now want to take time to do a responsive reading where we can express our devotion and our commitment to Christ together. So Pastor Adam is going to lead us in that.
And Jesus said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." By God's grace, we will follow Jesus together, denying ourselves and trusting in him as Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. By God's grace, we will love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. By God's grace, and as we receive God's love, we will love one another as members of the body of Christ. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. By God's grace, we will love our city and pray on its behalf, knowing that God makes his appeal through us.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you have given us a mission that we could never do on our own, and that if we tried to do on our own, that we would fail. And so God, we ask that you would empower us to do what you have called us to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, And by your grace, would you enable us to be disciples of Jesus in this city that you've called us to, loving you and growing in our love for you, God. Would you take us to a place of intimacy with you, where we know you. God, we pray that as we do so, that we would grow in the context of community, of genuine friendships, grounded in scripture, centered on Christ, that we would come to know one another, where we're doing life together throughout the week, caring for one another, supporting for one another, praying for one another. Lord, we ask that you would give us a heart for this city. Thank you for the people of Los Angeles. We pray that you'd give us a passion to share the gospel, to show your compassion, to be salt and light in this city. And God, as we do all these things, Lord, we ask that you would bear fruit. Jesus, we declare that this is your church, and we know it's you who grows the church. And so we ask that you would make us healthy, that you would grow us, and in doing so, that you would be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more audio and video content, please visit realityla.com.